back next week following the work of the Midnight Ravers at 2 o'clock. And WBAI 99.5 FM New York and WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock in New York City and time for Back of the Book.
They endorse hell. Where is it? Right here.
This hour of programming is sponsored by WBAI listeners in support of WBAI's Emergency Tower Fund Drive.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that help you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all anniversaries all over the place. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Yeah.
goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And you can find a little bit more about what we're going to talk about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can go there and look around at things. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 75th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program. However, this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And our top story of the week, making all the headlines internationally, we are still holding at 119 followers on Twitter. Yes, it's displacing everything else from the headlines. The next WBAI Local Station Board meeting will be held on Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, but it will be an executive session. The next regular WBAI Local Station Board meeting will be held on Wednesday, February 9th, 2022 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had an LSB meeting last week, and we elected the directors to the Pacifica National Board at that meeting, and I think they get seated this coming Thursday. I guess the deal is that they some of the other stations don't meet quite as early as we did, and so not all the stations have all their people in there. Oh well, on the 27th they'll be seating all of the new directors in the Pacifica National Board. There were no disputes about getting the directors for BAI elected because only enough people wanted to become directors who fit the slots. I mean, we had a total of four slots. Four people wanted in. That's it. You're in. Unlike the election for chair and vice chair of the local station board, where it was a tie vote and the tiebreaker came in, and that was it. Well, some people who didn't win are complaining. They actually brought it to the Pacifica National Board. And Jesus Christ, people, you lost the election. You lost the coin toss. Besides which, your two candidates were terrible. I mean, they would have been awful chairs and vice chairs. But there we are. Anyway, and as I mentioned, that particular LSB meeting had a timekeeper who couldn't keep time. Something that was supposed to last for 18 minutes got called after about 6 or 8 minutes. So, God, what's wrong with some of these people? And we'll have a new Pacifica National Board next week. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 344,904,162 on Friday, and global deaths reached 5,581,538. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 69,959,466, and the death toll in America had risen to 863,771. So 14,959 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. this week's death rate is up even more than it had been in the previous week. And we're hearing about, oh, we're turning a corner and it's slowing down and we're not. Well, you know, geez, we have like 2,000 more people dying this week than we had the previous week. And, you know, that's 14,959. That's pretty close to 15,000 people dead a week. And this is absurd that people are just, oh, we've turned a corner and it's over. And they're saying this. I know that people want it that way, but, you know, there is a gap sometimes between what we want and what's really going on in the real world. And it looks like there are loads of people who don't understand this. And I don't know. I can see that the numbers are saying that it is going down in New York City. The rate of infection is going down. And it's possible that the Omicron variant has run its super-duper course in New York City. It's still going to be around. It's still going to be infecting people, but it's not having a big surge from it. Whereas in other parts of the country, it's surging quite thoroughly, and they are not on a downtrend in terms of how many people are getting infected, how many are getting hospitalized, and how many are dying. And still a lot of the same stupid stuff is going on throughout the country. And, you know, so it's amazing to me that we went from, it was 12-something last week, and now it's almost 15. So figure, maybe it was almost 13 last week. So 2,000 more died this week than died last week. And it keeps accumulating, 863,771. And I'm seeing, besides seeing some people saying, oh, and it's going to get better and it's going to be, we're going to be free of all of this soon. We're also seeing other people saying, you know, you're going to have another 100,000 in the next few weeks. And, geez, is that going to happen? I don't know. But coming close to 15,000 dead a week in America is not going to have me thinking that everything's going to be just fine and dandy. This is bad stuff still. And it's still around. On the other hand, scientists are looking for Omicron-specific antibodies, Omicron-specific vaccines, and maybe they'll find that. Maybe they'll create those, and it'll knock down this extremely infectious Omicron variant. And meanwhile, of course, we have to hope that while it's in all these people, especially the unvaccinated, while it's in all these people, it doesn't mutate into something else that has the infectiousness of Omicron but kills you. Or doesn't have to kill you. It can just leave you messed up with some long COVID that causes permanent or long-term damage to your body. We know that the original COVID produces long COVID that harms people's lungs, and it looks like on a permanent basis. Well, what else might get harmed by this virus? We just don't know. People are sick and they're dying of this thing. It's really tempting to say, yes, it's all over. We can go back to doing things the way we used to, but we can't. It is entirely possible we will not be able to for years, maybe decades. This is not something that's going to yield to the people who just have a short attention span. And, of course, by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of the figures we quoted are going to be higher. And, again, this was all mostly preventable. In some other news, tennis player Novak Djokovic has been kicked out of Australia because he went and lied about his vaccination, and he wouldn't comply with the rules, and he sued and initially was able to stay in the country, and he went around practicing and breathing on people. And then that got appealed or something, and another court said, no, this guy has to follow the rules. Australia has been doing well by keeping down the numbers, and the way they did it was by getting a lot of people vaccinated and not letting jokers who are not vaccinated come in. And so, yeah, get the hell out. So this guy, he's so arrogant. Oh, I can do what I please. I'm a big deal tennis player. Yeah, well, okay, go play tennis somewhere else. Australia doesn't want to get infected by you disease-carrying types. And also, it looks like he's not going to be allowed to play in the French Open either, because they have rules too. They don't want everybody coming in and infecting them. And then we have a Czech folk singer named Hanna Horka. She died after intentionally catching COVID-19. She wanted to get a pass so that she would not have to get a vaccination and she would get COVID-19. And having had COVID-19, the government in her country would give her a document that said she'd had it, and that would be just as good as being vaccinated, and she could go wherever she pleased, do whatever she wanted. And so, yeah, she intentionally caught COVID-19 in lieu of getting vaccinated, and it killed her. It killed her real fast. We're also seeing that Meatloaf, the rock singer, well, as you're listening to this on Saturday morning, he died 2 days ago. I don't know if he was an anti-vaxxer, but he was very much against vaccine mandates. He was very much against people being told, like in Australia, you have to be vaccinated or else you can't do stuff. And so he was against that. And he caught COVID-19. It looks like it killed him within mere days. I mean, it can do that. If it gets you wrong, it can kill you within days. And it looks like he did it in mere days. The anti-vaxxers are doing such terrible things to the whole wide world.
God, we keep getting these messages on our answering machine from organizations that say things like, oh, don't vaccinate your children. And here's why. The doctors are being paid to kill patients in the hospital by putting them on ventilators and giving them medicine on heaven forfend, you know. But it's not COVID that's killing them. It's the doctors.
Yeah, this is bad stuff.
We're getting this over and over again.
They're saying, and remdesivir, that's the antiviral that Trump even got. And, that doesn't work. It's part of how they kill you. It's really amazing stuff. I think what we might do, I have to see about the legality of this. They're broadcasting this to some degree because they're making these unsolicited calls to our phone, and it's on our answering machine, and we can get the audio off it badly. And I got to check and see if there's any kind of prohibition, because you can have a recording. If I call you up or you call me up and we're on the phone and I record it, that's perfectly fine because one of us knows it's being recorded. And I could then go on the radio and quote everything you say. However, without your permission, I can't play the audio of the phone call. And so I don't know if that applies to this, or if because they're sending out these unsolicited, essentially broadcast messages of anti-vaccination and everything else like that, I don't know if I can legally do it, but I'm going to check this week and see if anybody in Pacifica is capable of telling me what the law is on this. We'll find out.
And you know, if it turns out we can't, I'll transcribe them and I'll read them.
Yes, we can do that. That we can do. We can report that we got a phone call that said X, Y, and Z, and we've sort of done that to a degree right now. It's just amazing. It is amazing, however, to hear this woman telling us how the doctors in the hospitals are, for money, killing people on purpose. Wow! You've got to be beyond a bit wacky to believe that kind of thing. Yeah, conspiracy nuts. Also, there are anti-maskers. One woman in Virginia said, "My kids aren't coming to school with a mask, and what I'll do is I'll show up with all my guns loaded and ready, and I'll come to the school." Then we've got another anti-masker who was on a flight from Miami to Europe, and this person refused to wear the mask. They had to turn the thing around. It was a 747. And they had to turn the plane around and land it back in Florida. And 128 other people who were willing to abide by the rule and wear masks, they were all inconvenienced by this. And it cost the airline, of course, a lot of money to turn a plane around. And they got to get it ready to go again. Yeah, I think that person got arrested. But this is some of the stuff that's going on these days. It's really, really terrible stuff and bad for all of us.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Here on Back of the Book, we frequently talk about things that have happened and in the past, and we talk about anniversaries all over the place. Well, we have a couple of anniversaries to talk about right here on this program, and Pickles of the North is going to start us off in this segment.
Oh, yes. Two anniversaries all in the same week. Oh, boy. The one that happened first this week happened 16 years ago. I guess I must have done this in the month of January.
It was the program of January 2nd, 2006.
Oh, my God. I didn't remember the day. Got down on bended knee and I did this.
Pickles of the North, hello, my dear.
Hello, my dear. Before we start, I have something to ask you.
Yeah.
Let me walk around to the other side.
Uh-oh. Well, it looks like we don't have time for this part of the segment.
My sweet pea?
Yeah?
My sweet pea?
Well, look. There's something on television.
No,
we have to watch this. A man is giving a speech on television.
You wanted a formal declaration, so here I'm going down on one knee now, folks.
Oh, no!
My darling sweet pea, would you be the honor of becoming my lovely bride?
Oh, I suppose so.
Oh! Here, a token of my affection and promise, this lovely facsimile of the dreaded ring from the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, my God.
So you don't have to put it on. Oh, it doesn't
there,
fit.
Good,
put
it, doesn't
on,
fit
put
there,
it on your pinky.
There it goes.
You don't have
to
wear it.
There.
You can just put it in your pocket.
Okay, so and disappear.
Now, did you say yes?
Yes. Oh, gee whiz, folks.
Oh, there's our beloved Uncle Sidney.
Christ.
And about time, too, I'd say. People have been talking, you know.
I almost asked him last night at midnight, but I decided to wait.
Well, folks, I've just been proposed to here, and I said, Oh, my godlessness.
Congratulations.
Well, we did it on the air there.
You better have said yes, too.
Yeah, I did.
Well, we have it recorded.
It's recorded, too. All of you. It's going to be in the archives. It's going to be in the BAI archives. Where
okay,
I'm getting
so
proposed
get
to.
We're all right.
I'm getting proposed to on the air here. Good grief.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you did.
Yes, it was very lovely. Our witnesses were Uncle Sidney Smith and Mark Leosa. And there was much joy in the studio at the time. And the four of us were sort of dancing with glee. And then a short time later, we went to the municipal building in Manhattan. And we're married.
Yeah, well, it was like, 11 days later or something we went there? Yeah, and we got married, and the guards felt up Pickle's ankle, so supposedly to make sure she wasn't carrying a gun. Yeah, we went to the municipal building, and we filled out forms. We'd already filled out forms for the marriage license.
Yes.
And we filled out forms that day, and we told them there we are, and they brought us in, and we got married with various people around us, including Uncle Sidney and Maxwell J. Schmid and Rat Girl of the West and Jim Freund from BAI, who turned out to be our sort of quasi-official photographer for the event.
And dear pals Melissa Martin and Wee Iris, who was our little tiny flower girl, and dear Lulu of the South.
And we got married that day, which was a sort of strange thing for me to be doing, but yeah.
How do you think I felt marrying a gay-identified bisexual? I felt fine about it. It was fine. How do you think my parents felt? Ooh, Nelly.
Yeah, they might have had a little bit of, oh, my.
I think the thing that loomed large for them was married. That was the word that counted.
Yeah. Even though they wanted it to be in a church with all Catholic stuff and all. And instead, we went to the municipal building where they crank out weddings all day long.
Oh, yes. And also glorified in arsenic and old lace. That was largely my inspiration. It's like, wow. Because they replicated the actual offices up there to a T. It was amazing. So I was like, ooh, I'd like to do that. That's a film from
46, isn't
it? There you go, yep.
And really, the place hadn't changed very much at all in 60 years. Holy hell.
That was part of its charm, I thought.
For me, you know, being a gay male and all of that, marrying a woman was not something I had thought was going to happen to me in my life. And gee whiz. In fact, the big change for me in terms of also liking women, it wasn't like I, you know, was no longer gay or anything. It was, but also liking women actually happened in the same month that I came to BAI. The two were not connected, but it happened to happen in November of 1981 that I first had certain feelings for one of my lesbian colleagues. Politically incorrect feelings, and you know, and that started things going. And for me, though, the real thing is the relationship. And we've been married for 16 years, but the relationship is
a quarter of a century old. Oh,
wow.
Boy.
Yes, and it is a quarter of a century old today, on January 22nd. 1997, what happened was we had a union meeting, because I was chief steward in the union at BAI in those days, and we had this meeting at the musicians' hall, local 802's hall, and we had all sorts of stuff talking, all the staff there, and we had a pretty decent number of staff. A lot more than you get at staff meetings these days. And so we were talking to people, and we, at the end of it, Pickles was there, and so was Maxwell J. Schmid and Rat Girl of the West, and we went out to have a little something to eat. Before then, I had seen Pickles at the radio station. She was one of the people who did a radio program. I'd seen her, and I had had a problem with some muggers sometime in December of, 96. And my left knee, which was wrecked in the Army, got even more wrecked. And as I was leaving the station one night, Pickles was coming across the street, coming into the station. And she said, oh, I have this for you. And she gave me this little ceramic thing with a deer carved on it and a little note that said, you rub this on your knee, it'll make it better. And I'm saying, oh, is she just nuts? Because there are plenty of people at PAI who are that nuts.
Hey, Rat Girl and I had a good time picking that thing out.
And so I'm saying, oh, man, you know, I mean, I noticed her and all, but I said, it almost made it so that we didn't get together there because, you know, I don't get along well with the new agey and magic people because, you know, I talk about science and reality.
It was just a little icebreaker.
I guess it was, but having almost no social skills whatsoever, I couldn't appreciate that at the time. And I'm saying, is she a nutcase? So there you go. Luckily, she was enough of a nutcase to get together with me. And on January 22nd, 1997, we hung out. We were having some, we ate someplace in the village. And after that, we were making out in a subway. And I said, oh, this is interesting. And from there, it went on. And that was our start of our relationship, which to me is the important thing. The,
yes.
The deal with marriage to me is just that there are benefits from marriage and there are things that really help you out. One of the things that was really a big motivator was hospital stuff. When I was there with her, they assumed she was my wife because we weren't two kids and they figure these two adults hanging around. And they called her Mrs. Martin. She didn't correct them because they were, you know, allowing her to be with me because they thought she was married to me. And so that informed us, yeah, we would get some real benefits from marriage. Very different from when I was the designated health care person for my male ex.
Yes.
When he was going into the hospital, we'd signed a form. I'd be there. They didn't give a rat's zinger about me and him at all. They didn't, you know, it was bad stuff. It was very clear that they didn't think that two gay men having a, this form that you fill out,
mm-hmm.
designated one of them as the health person. I forget what it's called.
You're the proxy, I think.
Whatever. And so they didn't think that was anything important at all, and they didn't talk to me. They just did stuff. One of them I remember was the male ex was HIV positive, and at one point he was in very bad shape, and it looked like that was going to be it. So he is there, and he's unconscious, and this one phlebotomist, the person who takes blood, goes in, and he starts taking a blood sample, and what you do at the end of it is you put a piece of cotton right where the little wound is going to be, and you take out the needle. And he wanted me to hold the piece of cotton, and I'm saying, if he slips a fraction of an inch with that needle, I'm going to get infected.
Is that why he wanted you to hold it, so he wouldn't?
I don't know. Maybe that was it. I'm not sure, but anyway, I did it because the male ex needed this done, you know.
I think this was some unethical medical behavior there.
That's one of the things that informed me, and other times they didn't bother to pay attention at all. But when I was there with Pickles of the North in the VA hospital, they let her stay with me. They talked to her about what was going to happen and all of this. It was much better. So we said, yeah, there are all sorts of things that can happen if you're married. And so the relationship is the important thing. But maybe we should do something about making it so we really can say we're married. And that's what we did. And we got married at the municipal building. And it was such a rainy day. It was deluge. It was just coming out of the sky in gigantic amounts of water. We went to a little deli after it. We just wandered around a bit, and in the vicinity, we found a deli. They had a little place with like two tables in the back, and we said, could we eat here as just a group? And they said, yeah, sure. They were glad to get any business because it was this terrible rainy day out and nobody was coming in. And all of a sudden we got, we had like 8 or 10 people that we brought in for business. And yeah, they liked it.
Yes, it was a group of hearty eaters. And so much fun. And we had a wee party later to celebrate. And then we honeymooned in Atlanta. Atlantic City.
Yes, we did. We went to Atlantic City for a honeymoon of, what was it, a weekend?
And let me just say right here, and I know you agree, R. Paul, given your long history as a gay rights activist, marriage equality is a great thing because now everybody can enjoy.
Yes.
At least in the United States.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
I,
far.
I was not all that hot about marriage more than 50 years ago when I was a gay activist. In fact, one guy, Arthur Evans, who was a big deal in the Gay Activist Alliance, and he was a theoretician for gay liberation stuff and all of that, he said he was willing to die for the movement, but he was really not willing to die so that people could get married, because it was seen by a lot of us as taking part in a part of society we don't care about. It's the power structure that you're in, and we don't care about that kind of thing. And decades later, when we were much older, we changed our mind.
Very important for many things, for health reasons, adoption, all kinds of things that are important, that, you know, it should be equal for everybody to have access to certain things like that.
Absolutely. And yeah, it wasn't like we didn't campaign for it. There's an old video up on YouTube. I'm in it, and we're in there in the office. I don't know if it was in the municipal building or not. It might have been. And we're in the office of a guy in charge of that kind of thing. And we're zapping him, and we're all over his office, and he doesn't like it. And if you look very carefully, you can see me with very long hair. In fact, you mostly only see the hair. So it's a thing of the relationship is the important thing, but you get certain benefits and you're together anyway, and what the hell, you might as well just go for it. I know some people have financial reasons why they don't want to get married, because it could cause a problem, but since Pickles and I are paupers, it didn't matter.
Gee whiz. And I'd like to add to that, our beloved Rack Girl of the West and Maxwell J. Schmid. Rack Girl and I were involved with the radio station. I guess I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. 95, 96, something like that. And we found our true loves there. We both found our true loves. So that's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. Nothing else. I've met many awful people at the station, many wonderful people that are just amazing. But the biggest thing and the best thing that ever came out of BAI for me is you.
Ah, good grief. Well, I'm certainly glad we met, my dear. And it is amazing to me that anyone could tolerate me for a quarter of a century.
Well, consider this song a token of my affection pour vous.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Now wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine, come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly, we've only tasted the wine, we're gonna drain the cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround. You've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. Now wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine.
Yeah, the best is yet to come, we hope. On the other hand, maybe World War III is gonna come. because we've got this stuff happening with Vladimir Putin trying to invade Ukraine. He's invaded part of it already. He stole Crimea. He's got people in the eastern part of Ukraine, and he has an overwhelming amount of military force just surrounding Ukraine on three of its four sides. And what's going to happen here? And Biden is saying, if you do this, we're going to have sanctions and things against you. I don't know how much we can do about it. But certainly United States is shipping anti-tank weapons to the Ukrainians, because anytime the Russians come in, they're going to just blitzkrieg with lots of armor. And if you can knock out a lot of that armor, you can give them problems. What they're also going to do, of course, is bring in their air force. That'll give them the really big thing, having the tanks and the air force. Yeah, and Ukraine will resist, but it will probably get crushed. And, yeah, we'll have Russia, the current Russian Empire, having the same boundary over there as the Soviet Union had, which was the second version of the Russian Empire. And the first version of the Russian Empire, of course, ended in 1917. And from 1917 to 1991, you had the second Russian Empire, which made believe it was a communist country. And in the, you know, and after that, in the 90s, the bad guys took over in Russia, and Putin got in there as dictator for life. And so we're going to have this going on. He wants to have that old empire, and he's going for it. And geez, how bad is this going to be? Could we end up with a real war, a shooting war between America and Russia? One of the things that happens sometimes in the Cold War was ship bumping. What happened was the Soviets in those days would cut across the path of an American ship, or they would come right up near an American ship, and there would be maneuvering to try to keep them away, because you don't want an enemy ship, and Soviet Union, let's face it, was the enemy. You don't want an enemy ship getting right next to your aircraft carrier, because a single torpedo and your carrier's out of action. You know, torpedoes are cheap. Carriers are very expensive. And so, you know, there was all sorts of maneuvering back and forth, and they would bump ships. And they had some of their ships are made in this old-fashioned way where they're very full of steel. And, you know, they would bump those things against the American ships that are made to be fast, but they can't be fast in certain circumstances because they have to guard other ships, and they would damage the American ships. We've also had them in the Black Sea flying aircraft very low over American ships. And so something could happen from this. You could have, you know, one of them slam into an American ship, and, you know, the Americans are going to have to do something about that. And what if a bunch of Russian aircraft come flying out of Crimea toward Turkey, and there are American ships in there? You know, somebody might shoot something. Which side, who knows? But somebody might shoot something. And it is important to prevent Putin from taking over Ukraine completely. I mean, this is a lot like the Sudetenland in 1938. In 1938, Czechoslovakia was a country. It had been invented after World War II, and Czechoslovakia was there, and they knew that the Third Reich was not their friend, and so they had fortresses around their borders, and Hitler said, hey, there are Germans living around there. Well, we want this Sudetenland, which just happens to be the western and northwestern border of Czechoslovakia, where all their fortresses, all their defenses are. And so Hitler was saying, yeah, we just want that. That's all we want. And, you know, he was making threats of war, and people were all very concerned in 1938, is there going to be a war? And so Neville Chamberlain went there, and he met with Hitler, and he met with Benito Mussolini and all wonderful people. And so he met with them, and he came away with Great Britain agreeing that, no, we will not have a war, and you can have the Sudetenland. And the Czechs, you know, are there, and there's not going to be anybody to help them if they then resist the Germans. So they said, well, we better go back. Now, I will also note, by the way, that Poland wanted a piece of Czechoslovakia too. So Poland wasn't exactly a wonderful place at this time, even though it got invaded itself a year later. And so you have to learn from history. You do not appease this kind of person. You don't give them territory. If you do, you got a world war in your hands for certain. Speaking of wars, we almost had a war. In 1962, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. And some of the things Putin is talking about is, well, if he's not saying it, but he's having some of his underlings say it, well, maybe we'll place nuclear missiles in Cuba and Venezuela. January 30th is coming up, and January 30th is the birthday of Vasily Arkhipov. Vasily Arkhipov saved the world. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, they were stopping ships from going to Cuba. They wanted to see if they had more missiles on them. And the Soviets were sending in 4 submarines. One of them, at least, had a special weapon on it, an atomic torpedo. The Americans were dropping notification depth charges, not full depth charges that were hurt anything, but something like a hand grenade, which when a hand grenade type of thing falls on a submarine, it makes a loud noise, but it doesn't hurt the submarine. It might scratch the paint or something, but that's all it does. And the people in the Soviet submarine were getting panicky, and the captain said, we're going to use a special weapon. And they were going to use it on the American fleet. And they were going to fire this atomic torpedo. It would travel. It would head toward one of the ships. And then it would explode. And it would be a nuclear explosion. Now, the Americans didn't have anything like this. They had no clue that there would be anything like an atomic bomb torpedo. So if all of a sudden an American fleet off the coast of Florida suddenly disappeared in an atomic explosion, well, the only thing they're going to think about in Washington, D.C. is they're firing those missiles from Cuba. And that's where it came from. And I'm sure that Cuba would have suddenly had a whole lot of hydrogen bombs blossoming all over it. Also, we might very well have ended up blasting more than Cuba. What would the Soviet Union have done? Would they have then started launching to... We could have had World War III. And all because of an atomic torpedo. Well, Sergei Arkhipov was the fleet commander and a political officer guy. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. And we will do the thing that humiliates us. We'll come up to the surface since they know we're here. We'll just say, all right, here we are. And we'll just continue on our way. And he did that. And World War III did not happen. Let's hope if some of this stuff goes on that we have a Sergei Arkhipov, more than one, on both sides. And since we're talking about some anniversaries here, here's an anniversary that doesn't involve nuclear weapons. Next Thursday, January 27th, will not only be when they seat the new Pacifica National Board, boring. But it will also be the 40th anniversary of my first produced radio program airing on WBAI. I came to WBAI in November 1981, and it was January 1982 when my first radio program aired, and that was on January 27th. It was Gay Rap, the weekly program for and about the gay male community. So it was 40 years that I will have been on the air per se, and that's an anniversary too. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. We're still collecting money for the Emergency Tower Fund at BAI. And so we're going to pitch a bit here. Now, management has said, yeah, you can do one pitch, not two, for this particular time. And I think this one is going to be our last pitch because it goes to the end of January. And this is the end of January for us, I think, isn't it? Wait, 20 seconds. No. Oh, it isn't. So we'll be pitching for another 6-minute pitch next time. All right. WBAI has had a little scare late last year. Regarding being taken off the air because we had been in arrears for our tower rent. We are broadcasting out of 4 Times Square, and we have a transmitter there, and we use their antenna system. And so we have to pay rent there. Actually, it's rent plus other stuff. I'm not going to – we just call it the rent. And so we have to pay that. And so we fell behind, and they almost – could have taken us off the air, and management wants to get a whole bunch of money so that we have a fund to back us up so that we can always pay the tower rent. Well, how do we do that? Well, we get you to get us some money. We ask you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and when they pick up at the call center, say, I want a pledge to the WBAI Emergency Tower Fund in the name of Back of the Book. And they will allow you to do that. And they'll take whatever amount of money you want to give them. You want to give them $10, that's fine, or $15. $25 would make you a regular one-year subscriber to WBAI, and that would mean you'll be able to vote in the upcoming elections that are going to happen in Pacifica in 2022. And that's an important thing in and of itself. We don't want more idiots on the LSB. And so what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950 when you say, I want to keep WBAI on the air, because that's what we're talking about here. And you pledge some amount of money. Now, again, it could be $10, as little as $10. $25 is a regular one-year subscription. Or you can pledge more, and you can join our pal, Seth, who has pledged, and Seth pledged more than the minimum to be a member. Seth's going to get to vote in this upcoming election. You can vote, too, by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, I want to donate in the name of Back of the Book for the WBAI Emergency Tower Fund. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please give it a call at that number. Give a call at that number and get the call center working. Yes, why should they be sleeping on a Saturday morning? 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number now and say you want WBAI to stay on the air. I pointed out last time that WFAS-FM had been a rhythm and blues station that was a little ways up the dial from WBAI. However, they got sold, and they're now a right-wing disinformation and hate station. Now, there are people in Pacifica who would like to sell WBAI. I don't know that they're going to care who buys it. They might pay lip service. They might have somebody seemingly neutral buy it. But we might end up also having a right-wing hate radio station at 99.5 if BAI gets sold. And so we need to not only keep the people at Four Times Square satisfied with getting paid, we also have to keep people who are in Pacifica who would like to sell BAI from doing that, because they could sell BAI for a lot of money and then they wouldn't have to worry about raising money for their program, for their stations. And so, yeah, there are motivations here that are not so good. The good motivation would be for you to get up and go to your phone and dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to pledge to the WBAI Emergency Tower Fund. That's 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we'd like to do all sorts of different things here. For instance, we recognize anniversaries, our personal anniversaries, the anniversaries of the world not being destroyed, stuff like that. Again, 1-212-209-2950. I really do hope that some of you are calling right now. Yeah, this is pre-recorded. We can't tell what's happening. But if you call 1-212-209-2950, you can help to show that Back of the Book has listeners, and you can also help to keep WBAI on the air. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please give a call at that number. That's it for Back of the Book for this week. We'll be back again next week. And coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
As I said, we'll be back next week. So it's going to be cold. It's going to be January. And take care of yourselves. Stay warm. And above all, remember what that remembering 1938 Dormouse said.
This hour of programming has been brought to you by WBAI listeners in support of WBAI's Emergency Tower Fund Drive.
Eat well another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong.
Tell me a story about your time at WBAI so I can let people know that you, in fact, have returned from retirement.
I retired because I was tired, but I found retirement more tiring than coming to BAI. BAI can be exhausting. Trump's there, and you have to yak about it. And if you're sitting at home, you're just shouting to the walls. When you have a program at WBAI, you can alert them about Donald Trump.
That's David Rothenberg. Tune in to any Saturday mornings from 8 to 10.
This is a well-oiled promotion, please.
I believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
Radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
Tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
This Saturday, January 22nd, WPFW and WBAI present No Going Back, No Surrender, a Roe v. Wade special. From 4 until 6 p.m. on this anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we'll bring you speeches from the protests in front of the Supreme Court, commentary from leaders in the fight for abortion rights, music, and of course, we'll invite your calls. That's No Going Back, No Surrender, a Roe v. Wade special. Pacifica Radio, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I don't really feel like I have to state the fact that men are still ruling the country today. And I don't really feel like they have.